Thanks for joining us today for episode 5 of In the Jar Studios.
Sounds around town.
I'd like to thank those people who have left comments and joined up to be fans of In the Jar Studios Sounds Around Town. And as always, comments and suggestions are welcomed and encouraged. So go ahead and leave comments if you would. In this podcast, we'll be discussing internet publicity and, in particular, having your own website. As you may know, the internet is growing exponentially, so a web presence is vital to your promotional efforts. As a band or artist, you should have your own presence on the web, promoting your music and wares. Let's pose the question, what is a website good for? A business uses a website to promote products that they're selling. Other websites are created to inform people on certain topics. The examples are endless. Think for a moment, why does your band need a website? Ask yourself what you want to achieve. Some of your responses could be to build a fan base, to sell CDs from, and to help book shows. Then, here are some of the examples why I created a website for my studio. I use my website to communicate with my customers as an advertisement for my business. I want to inform my potential customers of the services that we provide. Provide them a way of contacting us so they can book studio time. The website is also useful to provide samples of our work. As a band, you could do the same. Create a website that promotes your band. Your website should provide potential fans information about your talents. You should post pictures, samples of your music, any press that you may have obtained, a list of songs that the band performs, and provide contact information so you can acquire bookings. So you see, having a website lets people know of your talents, and best of all, provides your fan base the latest information on your band, and best of all, how to go about hiring. Your first step is get yourself a domain name. There's a reasonable annual fee involved with this. Someone may already have your band name .com, but there are also yourband.net, yourband.cc, and yourband.us, and others. So don't fret if you don't get yourband.com. Your next step is to find a host. A host is a server computer where your website resides. Hosting packages start as low as $7 US per month. Make sure the host provider allows for MP3 downloads and provides enough bandwidth. So do some research prior to deciding on which one to use. If you plan on creating your own website, you'll need to know HTML. So you may want to purchase a book on the subject. There are some good tutorials online. A good one that I can recommend is HTML Goodies. That's HTMLGOODIES.com. You may also consider purchasing an HTML editing program, such as CopyCup HTML Editor. This is a very easy one to use. The editor makes it quite simple for one to achieve professional results. There are also places on the web, such as MySpace and GeoCities, that provide a free web presence for your band. But these free web hosting facilities have loads of advertising. The advertising is a distraction to your fans, and you don't make a dime off of the advertising. MySpace has an area for friends where people leave comments. These comments have an avatar or picture of the person who's leaving the comment. It's also a link to the person's MySpace account, and yet another distraction for your fans or guests to leave your area. So accounts like MySpace should be used to enhance or supplement your official website. In other words, your MySpace account should lead visitors to your website. By now, you may be thinking,
wow, this is a lot of work.
Well, it is a lot of work, but it's worth it. First of all, your website will save you money. As part of your website, you should have an electronic press kit. This electronic press kit,
or EPK for short.
The EPK includes a band bio, picture of the band, press information, and MP3s. It also includes contact information. EPKs can be sent via email to clubs, newspapers, and online e-zines, etc. If you did this by traditional means, it could get costly,
really quick.
You'll also want to create a newsletter sign up as part of your website. This will be a sign up area for your fans to get the latest information on the band. For more information on electronic press kits, check out Sonic Bids.
You're listening to Los Hijos de Manuela. And now back to the show.
The newsletter should be planned out for all your monthly shows, so you don't overwhelm your fans. Your newsletter should contain the latest information about your band, CD release parties, show dates, and other exciting news that's going on with the band. I'd like to see an example of a band that's using all of the information that I've mentioned in this podcast. Go to
www.volatilrock.com.
Here it is spelled out. That's www.volatilrock.com.
And now for the tip of the week.
Today's tip of the week is for the guitarist and is an article that I wrote for an online e-zine. It's called Advantages of Using Smaller Amplifiers. Stage volume has always been a problem for musicians that play the club scene. In my 20 years of being a musician and several years of running live sound, I've learned many things that I should and shouldn't do as a musician. I will discuss today the advantages of using a smaller amplifier. As a guitarist, one of my concerns was not being able to hear myself on stage, even back many moons ago when I did use my half stack. I noticed that many of the guitarists in more seasoned bands were using smaller amps with single speakers. I got the nerve to ask one of them the reason that he used such a small amp. His answer astonished me. Here's what he said. I use a smaller amp because I can overdrive the speaker at lower levels, allowing me to achieve the sound that I wanted without blowing the heads off the people in the first few rows. It also gives the sound man the ability to turn me up in the monitors. I also use an amp stand tilted towards my ears so I can monitor my playing regardless of what the sound man does. This, my fellow guitarist, is sage advice. I started research on my own. I watched videos of my favorite players and noticed that they were using small amps. Yet, the sound was great. I mean, guys like Paul McCartney, Robert Cray, and Neil Young, and many others, were using smaller amps. One thing you need to remember is that you and the rest of the band have microphones in front of your amps, or are going out of the line out from the rear of your amp, and the sound in turn is going into the PA, where the crowd of your adoring fans are out listening to you. Your amp doesn't have to be huge in order to be heard. The microphone does a great job of reproducing the sound, and great results can be achieved. Another reason for using smaller amps is that they are not as heavy as their larger counterparts. They can usually be carried by one person, normally using one hand. Yet another reason is that they don't take as much space in your vehicle, and save space on stage as well. So there you have it. Smaller amps can sound overdriven at lower level. They don't take as much space in your vehicle and on stage. Setup and teardown is not as much work on your body when you don't have to lug around all that excess weight.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Underground Nation.
Special guest voices.
Rael Flores, Yo-Yo Sugar Nasty.
And Jonathan Loy, also known as Brainiac.
So there you have it, people.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
This concludes In the Jar Studios.
Sounds Around Town.
If you have any comments about this particular podcast or have a suggestion for a future podcast, drop us a line. Our email address is srtmail@earthlink.net.